Hey, I'm Gary from Hoops and Cards, and you're listening to the NoOffSeason.com Sports Card Content Network. Be sure to subscribe to all of our podcasts, including Sports Card Strategy, Football Card Quest, and my show, Hoops and Cards. We're helping you make money to fund your PC and enjoy the hobby, because there is no off-season.
What's going on, everybody? Paul Hickey here with NoOffSeason.com. You are consuming the Sports Card Strategy Show, brought to you by Graybo's Sports Cards. Graybo's Sports Cards is a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One Time Dodson, and is located in the Arts District in Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sports the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Graybo's breaks on Whatnot and or Drip 5 nights a week. Listeners of Sports Card Strategy can receive a 10% discount from Graybo's on Drip, Whatnot, or their website at graybos.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. You can follow all of Graybo's news and updates on Instagram at Graybo's_cards. Don't forget to go premium at nooffseason.com. Get your free 30-day trial today to help you build your sports card investment portfolio. We have just launched Sports Card School at nooffseason.com. Check it out at sportscardschool.com. All of the data we use on the Sports Card Strategy Show is from Market Movers. Get a free 14-day trial followed by 20% off for life by using the promo code NoOffSeason at marketmoversapp.com today. All right, you're about to enter a Wednesday deep dive with Kendall the Lefty McKee and Connor Barnett, head of content at nooffseason.com. Lefty and Connor, take it away.
What's going on, everyone? Connor Barnett here, head of content at nooffseason.com. Hope everyone is having a fantastic morning. We're back for another weekly Wednesday morning episode of the Sports Card Strategy Deep Dive. I'm here with none other than Kendall the Lefty McKee. Lefty, how are we doing this morning, sir?
Man, we are diving deep this morning. We're doing good. We've got tons of card news and then tons of card evaluation and Bowman 23 deep dives. Connor, we're killing it this morning. We're having a good day. And it's almost Christmas.
It sure is. I'm excited. We do have a lot of good stuff planned for you guys today. We got portfolio building, path to profit, invest/fade. We got our 1K budget builder, where we will be giving you guys an update as to how me and Lefty are doing so far. Then we'll round things off with a little bit of audience Q&A. So be sure to drop your questions in the live chat as you're watching throughout the show. And we will try to get to as many at the end of the show as possible there. Before we hop into things, good morning, Justin Stewart. Good morning, Brian Steeler 714. And good morning, Dr. Crack Chad Gill. Thank you all for being here this morning. We got a little bit of an exciting announcement before we hop into things. Graybo's, our lovely friends over at Graybo's, they are hosting a singles auction tonight, Wednesday at 7 p.m. The A-team is going to be taking over on Whatnot, Graybo, and Cole. They got over 150 singles, mostly basketball and football, as well as some baseball stuff there from a local sports agent's massive collection. And they're going to be doing some super fun and interesting giveaways there. So be sure to check that out tonight at 7 p.m. on Whatnot. That link will be www.whatnot.com/user/graybos_cards. I know that's a bit of a mouthful, but you will be seeing that link right about now in the live chat. So be sure to save that link and go check out our boys over at Graybo's on Whatnot tonight. And with that being said, we'll go ahead and hop into a couple things. Before we talk about what we've got today, Lefty, I wanted to make a couple quick corrections from our Monday episode of the Boma Draft Special last Monday. Just a couple quick corrections for everyone listening to make sure that all of our information and all of our ducks are in a row here. So real quick, one thing, we misspoke at one point, said something along the lines of Dylan Cruz won't have licensed cards unless Topps buys Bowman. Topps has actually owned Bowman for like 40 plus years, and Fanatics owns Topps and Bowman. We meant to say unless Fanatics buys Panini there. And then second, We've been talking about buying Darius Garland lately, and in a couple of different episodes, talk about him being Panini exclusive. He was slash is Upper Deck exclusive autos and only has non-licensed Upper Deck rookie autos. He has no Panini rookie autos, which is why Paul loves that rookie card kaboom, and we believe that is the right card for Darius Garland. With that out of the way with, let's go ahead and hop into some portfolio building and Lefty's portfolio breakdown. Lefty, what you got for everyone today, sir?
Man, I got a lot of good stuff here today. We've got stuff that I wanted to talk about in terms of like touching on, and I'll answer audience questions whether they wanted me to elaborate a little bit more here. And it's probably stuff we'll talk about in future episodes. But I talked very briefly about Torkelson in Monday's show when we broke down the charting of Bowman series and where they were when they came out of release, where they are now, and then where they potentially could be. And there was a spot in our charting where we looked at Spencer Torkelson's prices currently, and his autos are down to around the $60, $70, $80 range if you can find one on auction. That's the clear marker here. If you can find a base auto on auction, people aren't putting them up because they're not selling for what they have in them. But if they are out there, keep your eyes peeled and probably save a Torkelson eBay search for a Bowman Chrome Auto PSA 10 of his Bowman first, because they're undervalued right now. I see the reason why I wanted to bring this up is we have talked pretty strategically, actually incredibly strategically, about how we invest in minor leaguers pretty much exclusively at this point. And we've talked about how that is such a big deal for us as we go forward. And when we push into new areas, we want to be in a safe slash controlled environment. And the fact that minor leaguers are always getting called up is a safe and controlled environment for to some degree. And when they are already in the major leagues, we see a lot of their prices come back down. Well, we've seen Torx come down to a very, very reasonable spot. And so I believe we can buy in with caution into Torkelson, especially in his Bowman Chrome autos, because the last half of last year, he exploded statistically, and we saw some of the things that we relied on him being that player in Detroit. We saw some flashes of that. We've talked about how Arum and the Just Baseball guys out there really love Torkelson's value going into the 24 season. We've talked about how it is it's an undervalued position right now in Detroit. Yes, Detroit's struggling. Yes, they don't know what they're doing for a lot of senses. But Torkelson is so cheap right now, I believe we're going to make profit there. Another major leaguer that I'm interested in is Bobby Witt Jr. I believe that he is going to have an MVP caliber season over the next three seasons. One of those three, if not all of them, are going to be MVP caliber seasons. Last year, his MVP caliber season was hidden by the fact that we had Acuna doing just a little bit better than him. Bobby said that he wanted to have a 2050 season, and he had a 2049 season. And so, like, he was just under the stolen base projected that he wanted to do, and I could see him crushing that this year. The Royals are going to be a lot better. They've made a lot of good offseason moves. So I think Bobby Witt Jr.'s Bowman Chromes specifically, and we'll talk about this more later in the episode as we break down. And spoiler alert, I'm putting Bobby Witt in our 1K budget builder for today. But I think these are guys that are already in the majors that have extensive names, but their market is down because of their team's value. I could see the Royals and the Tigers team value being higher this year because they're just 1 year further into a rebuild. And so I could see Bobby Witt Jr. specifically taking off massively. And I would also be willing to risk on the low valuation of Torkelson, considering the value that he has been in at his all-time high. So I just wanted to mention that Bobby Witt Jr. and Torkelson are two guys that I'm interested in that are major leaguers. I don't do that very often, and I only have three people that I am buying that are major leaguers right now. And it is Shohei, which we've talked at length. Torkelson, I'm slowly pushing into that market. And then Bobby Witt Jr., if I can find a good deal on that. But I love Bobby Witt Jr.'s profile, so we'll talk about that more in a second. My other 1K budget builder, I wanted to dive very briefly into the Brady card that we talked about in Bowman. We talked about it in 23 about how it's a marketing scheme and a very like gimmicky play. And I do believe that is the play. And so my brain got going about other cards that people that Topps or Panini or Fanatics or whoever have put into releases previously that fall into the same category. And I thought about the 2014 Kobe Prism card that's in the World Cup set. So Kobe has an autograph of a World Cup Prism, that 2014 set that we've talked about with Messi. We have talked about that being a really important card or a really important card for Messi. Well, Kobe actually has a card in that set too, and it's an extremely short print. And it goes for wild money, Connor. Like, that stuff is going for multiple thousands of dollars. And so, you know, I think you could make a hop and a skip to say, why isn't Brady's autos here come with the same pedigree as Kobe's 2014 World Cup card? You know, they're both GOATs. They're both, you know, best in their sports, or at least top five when you come to debating. They're both in a sport that's not their own, that they do have a particular affinity for. Like, Kobe was a massive soccer fan. Like, we saw him he grew up in France. We saw him at national team games a lot. He was on the sidelines. He would travel to games a lot. Here's where I'm at with this. Kobe's legacy is never getting worse at this point. You know, Kobe is like, you know, rest in peace. He's out there. But at the same time, Brady could get worse. Plus, this is not a super short print card. I mean, it is a short print card, but it's not in the same degree nor print run as Kobe. I think Kobe's cards are not comparable to Brady's cards because Kobe's cards weren't exactly a marketing ploy. They were a chase, for instance. They were like a diamond in the rough card. Brady's cards have been a marketing ploy to get other people outside of baseball interested in the Bowman 23 set. I don't believe that they put Kobe in the 2014 Prism so that other like basketball players would buy the 2014 set. I think Kobe transcended that. And I don't think like true baseball, like for me, I'm not interested in the Brady card. If I want a Brady Expos card, I'll go buy the $15 one. I don't need the super expensive one that's more expensive than his football rookie cards right now. I'd rather just go buy a football rookie card for the sport he actually played and excelled at. So that's my little expose between Kobe and Brady cards in a non-sport that they played. There's other ones out there. We've seen Jordan have a baseball Chicago White Sox card that floats around there, fairly valuable. We see Bo Jackson have his dual sport. We have Deion Sanders have his dual sport. But it's just like those are not exactly the same classification because all those guys played on the field. You know, like there are plenty of quarterbacks that they could do. And I, you know, maybe they end up adding another quarterback. Russell Wilson could have a card. Russell Wilson actually is owned by the Yankees, I think, at this point. And so Russell Wilson could have a Yankees card. Peyton Manning was drafted. I think you see Patrick Mahomes drafted, I believe. And so it's like they could keep doing this, which I think they will. I think they will keep doing this. It's like it's gone well enough for them that I think they keep doing this, similar to the Retrofractor. You know, they'll have like big draftees of football players or stuff. But it's just not something I'm interested in. And we talked about that a lot on Monday's show. Anything you want to add there, Connor, before I keep going?
No, I think I'm going to touch on both the points you've talked about. One, the parallel that you drew between the Kobe card and the Tom Brady card is very interesting. It's great research by you. And I think you did a good job of like, really, it just explains another reason why we don't think this Tom Brady card is going to be heavily investable, and it's not something we're even close to looking at investing in. So I think that's a cool parallel that you drew there while finding the differences between them, really. So good stuff there. Then also for the active MLB players that you're looking at pursuing, guys like Spencer Torkelson, I think it's worth noting to our audience, you mentioned we don't typically invest in guys that have already been called up, and that's right. And I think it's worth noting that the reason that you feel comfortable doing it, you're still employing strategies and guidelines that we use in a lot of other areas. Yeah. For example, you're buying at a low point in the cycle. You're getting cards at a discount. You're timing the market there. Right player, right card for guys that even are called up. And on top of that, you've got clear markers, right? Like you have a marker indicator for each of these guys when you're looking to sell. And worst case, if that marker doesn't hit because you're still trying to time the market appropriately based on the trends that you're looking at for 365 days, whatever it may be in similar cards, you've mitigated your risk for some of these flyer plays of guys that are already in, that have already been called up. So I think that that was a great, great piece of deep diving again by you there. But I'll let you keep rolling along.
The next three things I just wanted to touch pretty briefly, just like small little hobby tips for me. And we talk a lot about how we want our show to be, to have vulnerability. We want to talk about our wins and we definitely want to talk about our L's. This week, I was in some fake Facebook interactions. I was on several different Facebook Bowman pages and I was like, okay, I'm looking for Wyatt Langford. We've talked a lot about how I thought he was undervalued. So I was trying to get even more undervalued by going to Facebook and not having to deal with the auction times. And so I could just like talk to someone instantly rather than wait and try to bid against somebody else. I could just be like, yo, I'll pay you for this right now. You know, like send it away, please. And so I made a post on one of the big pages we've recommended and said, I'm looking to buy Wyatt Langford. Several people reached out. You know, there was actually a lot of feedback because everybody is looking for him. A lot of people commenting on it. But I had three people reach out to me and they were like, hey, what's up? You know, I've got some Wyatt Langfords. Here's the picture. And I had four people reach out to me. Three of them seemed really sketchy to start it off. And I said, I want to do Venmo gifts and services, which is now the same equivalent to PayPal gifts and services. PayPal actually owns Venmo too. And so like they integrated that with a safety recommendation in mind. And so I said I wanted to do that. And they had their name different. This bothers me, Connor. This bothers me at length is when their name is not the same as like when their name on Venmo is not the same. And they're like, oh, it's my wife's Venmo. Dude, if you're doing this as a hobby or for a living, get your own dang Venmo. You know, like just learn the craft. I know there's a bunch of like, sorry for like the boomers in there. Like, I just don't like technology. You know, I could hear Chad coming in right here. It's like my Android doesn't work all the time. Blah. And I know, Chad, you have Venmo and Cash App, so you're way further ahead than these guys. But they're like using their wife's account. That bothers me. Just get the one, match the name. It's less sketchy. Anyway, sometimes I know that happens. But in this case, There were these guys that were having a different Venmo name than their profile name. And then they were like doing this other stuff. So I said, I'm just going to keep it gifts and services. Would you please coin the card for me? They couldn't coin the card. Plus, it was all sketchy. And I was like, I'm just going to back out. So I didn't feel good about these three transactions, even though I loved the card. So I backed away, saved myself from that, from this fake Facebook stuff. Then I go to this fourth one. This guy has a different name on Venmo. He has a good reason why. We're talking pretty regularly. He's been able to coin the card. You know, he has a little more smoother communication. So it seems like an actual, like actual transaction. I end up paying the guy and don't, I end up paying the guy and don't use Venmo gifts and services because I feel confident in the transaction. I got scammed, Connor. The guy never, I paid for the card. He never shipped it. He was like, yeah, you know, in fact, actually, I would like you to buy more cards because you're the only person that I ended up selling to. And like, I have some more Langford cards. So he showed them to me and I was like, hey, man, I'm not really interested in putting more money down until one transaction goes through. And long story short, he totally scammed me. I reported him on Facebook and Messenger and the page and, you know, the Venmo, you know, all these transactions. I reported him everywhere. And I said, like, I think it's pretty low of you to be scamming people this time of year, dude. Like, clearly you are a real person. And clearly you have shown me enough to know that you just suck. You know, like, you're just a sucky dude. And so, regardless, I got scammed out of $80 for a Bowman Lunar parallel of a Wyatt Langford, which was a pretty good deal. So just be careful out there, guys. Like, all in all, this does happen to us as well. You know, I just got too excited. I got too excited about the transaction and didn't do the gifts and services with a person that I trusted. And although it was still looked pretty good, I still just didn't feel right about it. And I should have taken more time. be patient because things still happen to us. Things can still happen to you. Also, in card shows, I've had a couple people reach out to be like, hey, you know, like my eBay store isn't selling like I want it to. I have a bunch of PSA 9s and things like that. Here's another pro tip. Put yourself in the shoes of the buyers here. You know, we've talked about how I want to be first to the market and I'm going to do spring training as my marker for selling rather than some of these guys' actual call update. Because if I'm putting myself in the shoes of the buyer, eBay is still a virtual card show. Like, essentially, eBay is a virtual card show, Connor. And I don't know how many card shows have you actually been to, Connor? Two? Your mic's muted, so.
Two.
Okay, so when you go, I found this out exclusively at the National last year, and Denny one time from Graybo's talked about this at the National this year. We were walking around looking for, you know, Xavier Isaac, Colt Keith, Jackson Holliday, all of our guys, but the guys that were on people's tables were Soto and Scherzer and Luis Angel Acuna and all these guys that were just in the market because everybody was like, oh, their markers are here. We're going to put them on our table because they're going to move. And smart investors like us were actually looking for other cards that people just didn't have out. So when you think about it, if you're waiting for the actual marker to sell, everyone else is putting their cards on the card table. And smart investors are not looking for that. So think about your eBay store as a virtual card show. And it's like, are you getting your cards first on the table or are you getting your cards when everyone else's are on the table? So, exactly, Barry. So you have that thing built into just have the awareness of your buyer. It's very easy for us to get consumed with, okay, this is the right cycle. This is non-emotional, da da da. Exit your situation sometimes and picture yourself on the other end of the table. That's very, very helpful for smart selling. Last thing I want to bring up, we've talked about how Graybo's has an awesome event tonight. Another awesome card event tonight is Fanatics Live is bringing on Dude Perfect for the first time. I think this is awesome for the hobby, and I just want to talk about this briefly, Connor, because you know it's hobby news, and it's not exactly card news, but I think it affects card news. Breaking news, YouTube sensation Dude Perfect has partnered with Fanatics Live on a YouTube series or a new series of live box breaks. These shows will have large sport card components, also feature quite a few other perks, including auctions of various items, the crew wore, and record-breaking trick shots. On their pre-stream show, they even auctioned off a tour of the Dude Perfect headquarters for $3,500. Their first show, which will be focused most on memorabilia, is tomorrow, which is today, at 4:30 Eastern. I will certainly be tuning in. Welcome to the hobby, Dude Perfect. This is from Collector Guru. Follow him a lot. He has some of the best hobby news. But Dude Perfect has a wild presence in the media. You know, like pretty much every kid under the age of 15 loves this show, Connor. Like my 8-year-old nephew literally wanted just Dude Perfect stuff for Christmas last year. And I took him to Dude Perfect Live last year. And it was awesome. It was like the coolest thing I've ever seen. I had a blast. He had a blast. For Fanatics to sign some of the best and cleanest influencers of sports media, because they do trick shots. So that's sports media. That is huge for the hobby. We've talked about how Fanatics is going to 10x the evaluation of the overall hobby. And where are we going to see money coming into our hobby in the next 10 years? We've talked about how Fanatics is going to boost the overall market cap of cards. This is an incredible move forward by Fanatics. Taking some of the biggest influencers from an age demographic of the kids that start card collecting is incredible. Having them on Fanatics Live is so intelligent. I think this is a great move by Fanatics. I think it's a great move for the hobby. And I actually think we see a market cap rise from this. Not only everything, but just especially from this. And so I will be tuning in at 4:30 p.m. today. I will definitely be getting my Fanatics Live account started because I want to see what this is all about. I definitely want to I've already looked previously. I looked a year ago when I went to Dude Perfect Live to see if Dude Perfect had any cards out there. You know, I want to collect all five of them because I think that's investable material. They don't have them yet. I'm assuming that's next on the block. But a Tyler Dude Perfect auto, give it to me, son. So anyway, there it is. That's like the lefties portfolio building. I think that's going to build all of our portfolios. So I wanted to include that in the deep dive show.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff there. Before we hop into my flyer hero and goat picks of the week, I wanted to touch real quick on your experience with getting scammed. Obviously, we hate that happened to you, but a couple things to take away as an audience. You mentioned that this is like a learning scenario for them. So selling and buying tip. If you're selling cards, make sure your name matches on the medium that you're using to find buyers for your cards. Make sure that name matches what software you're using to actually get the transactions through and the money. Also, if you are buying, be wary of a scenario like this. Be very careful when the names do not match up. Also, we always recommend PayPal goods and services. So another layer of protection that you can add to yourself there. Obviously, Lefty was awfully excited. We know Bowman Draft had Lefty to the moon there. So a little bit of emotion involved for Lefty's mistake there. But we're confident that with the plays that we're making, he's gonna get that money back pretty quickly. So let's go ahead and hop into my picks from our portfolio building segment for Flyers, Heroes, and Goats, and get Lefty's feedback on them. And if these are guys that you should be looking at investing in, if they belong to these categories, kicking things off, Flyers. Let's talk a little more baseball. Ethan Salas, 2023 Bowman Chrome First Prospect Auto, PSA 10. To me, this is a very safe Flyer play with a clear sell marker, being the call-up, right card, right player, right time. Catcher for the Padres, currently the top-rated prospect in their entire farm system. He's also currently 12th in our baseball rankings at nooffseason.com. This card is down 40% the last 30 days, from $460 to $275. Lefty, is this a prime example of getting the offseason dip that we're looking for in baseball? Last sales in order, $600, $488, $450, $367, and most recently $275. However, this is a long runway player, not expected to be called up until 2026. Is this someone worth tying up cash flow in? What are your thoughts on this Flyer pick here, Lefty?
Yeah, I like it. You know, we've talked about how Salas will have a buying day. It just wasn't when his cards created out of the Chrome box. I wanted to mirror Churio's charts and Salas's charts, and they've actually been very similar when you look at the Bowman Chrome put out. It is a release that has come so far after Bowman Baseball in the calendar. People can't wait to get in on it. And so the hits of the Bowman Chrome product end up being elevated. They end up being way higher than some of the other stuff. And so when I had Salas, I was like, I do want to buy him at some point, but he is going to be a long runway player, so I'm not buying him right away, which is the exact opposite of why Langford being a helicopter. Salas had a long runway. Now with San Diego sending Soto away, potentially looking at a rebuild, they're in financial struggles. I think 2026 is actually a longer evaluation than Salas needs. I think he actually will move up a lot quicker. We'll see how he goes this year. I could see him being up in late 2024, or like later this year, or the next season, and then or 2025. I could see Salas moving pretty quickly. You know, like, it's not unheard of for us to have guys of his age be in the major leagues. We saw Ivan Rodriguez, you know, 20 years ago come up at this same age. And look at what Pudge did. You know, like, Pudge has an incredible market. I'm not comparing Salas to him. I'm just comparing the age at the same time. And so we've seen how players can elevate very quickly. And catcher is a position of need on this Padres team. So I think now is a good time to buy him, especially if you're getting down to that 275 value. I think that is a smash buy. Chad has also talked about how Salas is a buy for him now and has been buying him. So, yes, like this Flyer play. I think it's probably one of your best Flyer plays that you've brought forward so far.
Love it. Great breakdown there. It's interesting. We try to have as much of our decision-making driven through card analytics as possible and use real-life player statistics, things like that, as supporting evidence, really. So I think the information that you gave me to kind of support that is perfect, because for people that are worried about tying up their cash flow for an extended period of time, when you know you've got the right player, the right card at the right time and the right valuation, you can look at those advanced statistics and things like that to say, okay, I don't maybe want to have my cash flow tied up all the way until 2026. Looking at all these things, I know I'm going to make money on it, but this is maybe I'm going to make money quicker than I think. So really it makes sense to make the play even more right now than you would think. So good stuff there, Lefty. I'm going to move right into my hero pick for the week. And I'm curious your thoughts on this one. Victor Wembanyama, 2023 Prism Draft Pick Silver, PSA 10. This card for me is a scenario where is it the right card, basically. So it's down 56% the last 30 days. It was starting at $888.80. The last sale was $386. It's not traded super frequently, but we did have three straight sales below the $400 mark and five of the last six below the $400 mark. So it's not like the $386 sale was necessarily an outlier there. Wimby's having, by all accounts, a fantastic season. That it's just a poor team. This card has 10 sales the last 14 days, so not traded super frequently, and the pop count's very low. It's only 52. Is this something that we should buy now and hold with plans, or and plan to hold until the next NBA cycle, while being ready to list, you know, on a nightly basis, depending on if a historic night from Wembanyama presents itself? Obviously, if you're not someone that wants to watch or check ESPN every single night, check the sports news, be sure to text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727, and we'll make sure you don't have to. We'll let you know when to sell certain players and certain cards. But thoughts on this card here, Lefty?
Yeah, I don't like this card. I think this is one of my least favorite Victor Wembanyama cards because of the price invested. So people are going to say, oh, Prism, you know, that's the one we want. This is a draft picks card. Doesn't even have him in a Spurs uniform. Very generic looking. Looks like it's like, you know, like the typical baseball they can't brand things from Panini cards. I mean, this looks like a Donruss baseball card if I've ever seen one. So I'm not a fan of this card. Plus, at 386, we've seen one outlier be 650 in the past. Almost half month, and the rest of them have been around $400 for within a couple of range. You know, if we're looking at, if you're watching us online, you can see how this chart has one little blip of an outlier and everything else is in this channel right here. And so you see how that blip of 650 might've just been a blip. Plus he has an ankle injury. He was out last night. There's just so many things about this card that I'm just fading. And his cards are about to get super expensive, Connor, especially with a bunch of other Spurs material coming to the market. We've talked about how Wimby's cards are going to continue to be pressed delivered to the market. They're going to continue to be printed. And so right now his investment cards are the NBA Hoops, Gem Mint cards, PSA 10s, SGC 10s, stuff like that. Stuff that's like on the top shelf of his potential overprinting problem, which I don't necessarily believe is an overprinting problem. I just think we will see his evaluation from the card market as more cards move in, supply and demand. We know economics, that price will come down on some cards. This is a card I don't believe will be even this high in a few months, but they're super. If you are buying into Wembanyama right now, like for instance, I just said his best investments, the NBA Hoops stuff, things like that, they are super quick flip before the other releases come out. So it is dicey. I'm going to talk more about Wembanyama here in our next couple of segments. So I want to get back to this, but I'm fading this card.
Awesome breakdown from Lefty McKee there as to why this is a wrong card scenario. A lot of you guys in the live chat are saying the same thing. So it's pretty cool to see everyone actively fading the same card at the same times. A lot of you guys are frequent listeners. So cool to hear Lefty break things down exactly where everyone's head is kind of at in the live chat. So that was awesome. Let's roll into my GOAT pick. We're going back to Shohei, man. 2018 Best Refractor, PSA 10. Down 32% the last 14 days. We talked, you specifically, Lefty, talked about an opportunity to buy back in on Shohei. Is it already presenting itself? 18 straight sales below $300. Last sale, $268. Traded above $300. Pretty consistently between 622 and 912 of this year. Over that time period, peaked at 469, 445, and 486. I think people are going to be amped, not only for Shohei's return to baseball. Obviously, he was He was unfortunately sidelined from last season at the end of the year, but also his Dodgers debut. So, you know, we've kind of discussed the hype building up for news-related events causing pricing surges. But after those events happen, after we got the reports of Shohei signing, you quickly see the rise start to slowly fade off and decrease. And there's a little bit of a residual effect in terms of pricing growth. But at this point, we're seeing a lot of the cards go down for Shohei and his market really settling back down. So is it too early to be looking at buying Shohei back already, Lefty?
No, I don't think it is. I think Shohei's a guy that you can get in and out of, and you only trade Shohei. Like, you can make a living trading Shohei cards. I'm going to show you later in our 1K budget builder how I was able to make a bunch of money on Shohei in our 1K budget builder. But then we look at Shohei as being a GOAT. He's already a GOAT. He's going to be a GOAT. And I think if you're looking in the next 2 year cycle, this is a low point for him because he's going to come back and pitch for this Dodgers team. Imagine, Connor, it's a night game. It's 9:10 p.m. on Eastern Coast. They're playing L.A. First start, Shohei Ohtani to the mound. Dodger blue. Stadium's bumping. You got Shohei coming to the mound. He's smiling. His interpreter is smiling. You've got all the Dodgers smiling. You've got Mookie Betts, you know, just freaking pumping his glove at second base. He's just getting amped. You've got freaking Angels going to get decimated in this game. Shohei comes to the mound. 101 straight fastball right down the pipe for strike one. That's a selling opportunity, Connor, because that's when his dang, I just freaking hyped myself up. Holy crap. Woo! All right. So then you have Shohei hit a home run in that game. You know, that's two years away. He's not going to pitch next year, which is okay, because I believe he's going to dominate at the plate this year. He's going to be super protected in a lineup. That's baseball language right there. He's super protected in a lineup. People are like, I don't really know what that means. What that means is he's got an MVP on one side of him and an MVP on the other. You've got to pitch to one of them. You've got to pitch to one of them. And so, and I mean, you're probably not going to pitch to Shohei all the time. You know, you're going to choose and pick your battles. But as an opposing coach, you look at the front half of this lineup and you're like, holy freaking crap. We got to just get through the first inning. You know what's a bet that will smash this year, Connor?
What's that?
A yes on first inning run scored for the Dodgers. You know how many times that's going to smash this year? Because you know you got a first three of Mookie, Shohei, and then Freddie Freeman. That is a recipe for back-to-back-to-back home runs at least one time next year. So, yes, there is buying opportunities for Shohei. I am not the only one that has this fire in my chest to watch him walk out in Dodger blue. Golly, I just wish Vin Scully was around for one more call in the box to have Vin Scully talk about Shohei coming to the plate for the first time in Dodger blue. I know we've got tons of AI opportunities out there. Somebody make a Vin Scully announcing Shohei Ohtani coming to the plate for the first time in an AI. I don't even care if it's fake. I just want to hear it. Yes, guys, there will be selling opportunities.
Lefty's passion for Shohei's Dodger debut is exactly why I picked this card, because I think
how big
their market is, we're going to see this type of emotion from a lot of baseball fans and a lot of collectors around. Demand for Shohei is going to go up big time. You can look at selling his cards on an auction that end right before the game or during the middle of the game and make some serious profits on currently discounted Shohei prints. It's just a matter of finding the right cards and making sure you've got something that you can move quickly and make some cash there. So let's go ahead and roll right into your path to profit, Lefty, and then we'll touch on some investor fade before we get to our 1K budget builder stuff.
I'm sweating, dude. Sorry.
I love it. Worked up, Lefty.
All right. So my path to profit here, I want to talk about my SGC 50-card Wembanyama submission. I submitted a 50-card Panini Instant Victor Wembanyama play. You know, I got all of my Victor Wembanyama papers. I got them all in, 25 a set, and said, these are going to SGC because I want to be first to the market on eBay. My grades popped yesterday. 50 cards submitted, $15 a submission for these cards, $4 invested per card, has me $19 invested minus shipping and handling to and from SGC. I got 37 tens, Connor.
Bang.
37. That is awesome. And then I was like, okay, so what are the others? I had 13 9 fives. 37 tens, 13 9 fives, zero anything else. Literally an immaculate grading submission from Kendall McKee here. I sent them all, didn't even look at them. I just was like, I'm just going to get out of these cards as fast as I can. So I should make a really nice profit here as I expect these PSA 10s to get at the least around the double of this $19 to $20 valuation of what these cards are coming in at. The 9.5s, I can expect to get close to a $30 amount probably. And so that's going to be all gravy. Overall, I'm listing all of these today because SGC has an opportunity to have your selling ready pictures already before they get to me. I'm going to put these on eBay today in 50 different 7-day auctions, which I know is going to be insane because I'm going to sell 50 different cards in 50 different packages, which is going to be crazy, the fulfillment on the other side of Christmas. But he has a game on the 23rd and a game on the 26th. I'm not worried about hype cycles right now. I am worried about getting cash flow back into my bank account. And this play was such a good investment on the other end. I want to have potentially... So let me just give you the numbers. I've spent $788 on all this investment. If the 10s sell around my $40 valuation, which I believe could get north of 40, could get less of 40, I will make $1,480 on the 10s alone. So that's almost a double on just the 10s if it sells for $40. And then the 9.5s are gravy on the top, like I talked about. So no telling what those 13 cards will get, but it's all gravy. I'll keep y'all updated, but I expect to make over 1K here. And then that's before Christmas. That means I have 1K to put back in the sports cards before New Year's Eve. Sorry, not before Christmas, before New Year's Eve. The Spurs have a game on the 23rd. They have a game on the 26th. He will play. I would believe he would play on both of those games because of his ankle. You know, so anyway, that's where I'm at with that. I want to be able to move into these and out of these very quickly. The Panini Instants are not a card I'm looking to hold at long term, which we just talked about how it's dicey in the Wembanyama market because of the flooding. I'm going to be first to the market with a graded card of this specific Wembanyama card. It's the number 5 Panini Instant. It's him coming off of his first double-double, I believe. And so that's the card that's going to eBay today in 50 different 7-day auctions.
Great job, Lefty, putting a bow on the Wembanyama discussion. And I'm pumped for what a W this was for you. Fantastic work on this one. I know that you had a little bit of a different play trying to go with SGC instead of PSA just to be first to the market. It sounds like, like you said, you're just trying to get back into cash flow here. You're going to make some solid profits. So I'm pumped for you personally.
This has worked so well, Connor. I think it might be something I do more regularly. So look forward to SGC being more of a consistent play that we do in the future because of how much profit I'll make on this.
Yep. I love it. Excuse me. Give me just one second.
What do we love here, Connor?
I love that making money.
Exactly. You know what we love? The profits. And so we don't like if it's profiting, you're winning. So this is such a good profit for me. I don't love SGC as much as I love PSA 10, but if I'm making
money,
but we love money, baby.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that again, if you go look at like Lefty's selling right now, I pitched a Wembanyama earlier. He faded it because we don't have the right card and the cards that are out right now are about to get devalued big time. If you go look at the updated basketball rankings at noofseason.com, Wembanyama is not even on there right now. Will he return to the list? Very, very likely, but not right now. We don't recommend buying him right now because we don't think the right cards are out. Will they come out? Yes, eventually, but he's not even on our list right now. So glad that you're getting rid of Wembanyama. Glad you're moving back into more cash flow. Glad you're making profits. Good work, Lefty, on path to profit. Let's roll straight into our investor fade segment. Lefty McKee, fantastic work there, by the way. Hopping into investor fade, got some interesting ones for you this week. Our first one, the battle of college football quarterbacks. Let's with go. A twist. Caleb Williams, 2022 Bowman Chrome University, number 50 auto, PSA 10, a card that you picked last week in our 1K budget builder, up 56%. However, this is off of just one sale. So it's trading about $650 prior. It had one kind of outlier sale recently. We've talked about this card in great depth about using the
this card sold for $850, but that's
I know. Using this card as the sell marker being the NFL draft hype. So we're putting that up against Shador Sanders, 2023 Bowman Chrome University Prospect Auto, but in raw. There's no PSA 10s yet in market movers. Raw is about $100, which is down 20% the last 30 days. Here's really my question. Should we be prioritizing cash flow going with Caleb Williams because we're going to get the return sooner? He's more stable potentially just because of he's coming from USC, kind of a bigger team, a more contending team. He's already going to be, we know he's going to be a top quarterback in the draft. Or do you go a little bit more risky with Shador and get that raw option? What are your thoughts here?
I think this is crazy. This has ended up selling for $850 when the last three sold for like $500 to $600. Somebody literally made an absolutely terrible decision.
Bonehead play.
Bonehead 200 plus on the last sale. Last sale was 650, and he was like, "I gotta sell this." I hope this isn't one of our listeners, Connor, because like if you went like, "Oh, I'm just gonna make a panic buy and buy it for 200 because of scarcity, 200 higher than the last sale." Dang, that's a tough look. I actually, Connor, this is hilarious. I messaged this seller of this card that sold for $850. And I said, this card is down about $300 from where you have it listed. Would you sell it to me for $50 higher than comps right now? No message back. And now it's sold for $850. Worked out for that guy. But whoever bought it, I think you are going to sweat this one all the way to the end. Do I think it sells for higher than $850? Yeah, I think you're probably going to make about $1K, or you're probably going to sell it for about $1K, $150 profit, but then you got to take eBay fees, 13%, all that kind of stuff into it. I think I would have rather had about $400 profit rather than a dollar or $150 profit. But so if you have me at gunpoint saying, are you going to pay $850 for this? No. But I'm going to say, I'm going to pick this one because I think I can get it around $650, $700. I think I can go back to, with this data, the seller is going to be like, well, the last one sold at $850. And I'm going to say, the last seven didn't sell for $850. You know, so like, come down a little bit on that. And if he says, okay, $700, I'll be like, smash it. You know, like, okay, fine. So I'm still going to pick this because of the short runway, because Shador Sanders is going to have a longer runway here. I do like the Shador card, but it's traded very consistently in that same channel. There hasn't been a whole lot of drop. Like if you look at this chart, it's like, you know, 125, 100, 125, 115, 116, 115, 125. You know, it's like we're pretty consistent here. There's a long runway. And I think there's a very short runway for this Caleb Williams card. So give it to me for $700.
Awesome. Love the pick there. I think prioritizing cash flow a little bit right now. Not that we like, I think Shador's a fantastic play. It's just,
oh my gosh, Shane Graham saying it was me. Just kidding. Holy crap.
Scary. Lefty's prioritizing cash flow. He's trying to make sure he can make those profits. He knows that this card's going to go up and he's not going to pay $850 for it. Our second pick of the week. I tried to make this one very difficult on your heartstrings. We're going Tyrese Maxey, 2020 Prism Silver PSA 10, which is down 27% the last 30 days. He's actually down in a lot of different areas, which is interesting for Maxey right now. Last sale for this card, $330. Here's my thing with buying this card right now. What are Maxey's real sell markers? Yeah, we're super high on him, but how long are you trying to hold this card? How much are you trying to sell this card for? And what markers do we think are going to make it spike? Because everyone's seeing what kind of player he is. He's clearly going to emerge as a top-level guard in the league. And his prices on a Prism Silver aren't really spiking where I think we would expect them to be. We're comparing that to Tyrese Haliburton, 2020 Optic Holo PSA 10. This card is actually up 29% the last 30 days. And you might be thinking, well, why is Connor pitching a card that's up 30% the last 30 days? Because we got that clear sell market for Haliburton. We've been talking about the All-Star game being played, essentially a home game for him. This card's got 14 trades over the last 30 days. So it was trading $120, and now it's up to $155. Let's assume that you can get two of these, Lefty, two of these Haliburton, so it's equal value.
Give me Hallie. I think we have not seen his day in the sun yet, as I say. And I love Tyrese Maxey, and I love Tyrese Haliburton. These boys, if I had to start a franchise today, these would be very high on my list of guards that I would take first. Absolutely. You know, like, I'm not saying I would take them first overall in all of the NBA. I could probably take Jokic or somebody like that. But at the same time, like, these are high on the list of guards in the NBA right now. They are dominant scorers. They are great playmakers. You know, like, they have good numbers from the free throw line. You know, they're fast. They're smart. They come from good programs. Iowa State, UK, you know, one of them has a little bit more pedigree than the other. But, you know, Iowa State is a good basketball program. We saw Halliburton dominate when he was there. And so, yeah, give me Halliburton here because I don't think we have – people have not woke up to this Indiana Pacers team like they've woken up to Maxey yet.
Yep, I like it. I think Halliburton's – even with a spike in this card, I think he's so undervalued. We're talking about a guy.
I bought this last week, a Halliburton auto, baby.
Love it. So, we're talking about a guy that's averaging, I believe, 25 and 12 in a very low turnover rate. Anyone that's averaging over 10 assists with a low turnover rate is someone that's extremely mature in the game of basketball. We're going to see Halliburton continue to showcase that maturity for a number of years. Not saying that Maxey isn't, but I'm just so high on Halliburton here. I think his card market is going to match Maxey's.
His plus minus on the year is plus 61. That's incredible statistically. You know, that's like Luka is at 70, which by the way is incredible. But you know, that says a lot about Luka. But for Tyrese Halliburton to be at plus 61 on a saber metric that is a plus minus while he's on the floor, that means that the Pacers are plus 61 with him on the floor. Yep. That's How many games in the NBA are won by 61 points?
Not many.
Yes, exactly. That means you are basically winning with him on the floor and you're losing with him not on the floor.
Yep. So I agree. Let's roll straight into our 1K budget builder of the week. And just a heads up, guys, before I give you guys an update, I'm actually going to call an audible. Once we give our picks for the 1K budget builder, we're going to go to some audience Q&A. Lefty's got to bounce today, so I want to make sure he has time to answer some of y'all's questions. And then once he bounces, I will give you guys all the updates on who we're selling, where we're sitting in terms of profits, who we're still hanging on to, and things
update, like that. Update, I am smashing Connor.
He is beating me right now, as expected, but I've got a bunch of cash flow tied up right now, but you know, I'm expecting to turn things around a little bit. So Lefty,
bro,
go ahead.
I'm still competitive, Connor. I just had to let
people I am know. Too. I love it. Lefty, go ahead and hop right into your picks for your 1K budget builder this week.
Yeah, I love these picks. I think I'm very, very confident in the picks I'm making this week, and they're all Bowman related. You know, I like to do a little bit of a seasoning, a little bit of a feel and a genre to my picks every week. And so we've done a Bowman season because it's Bowman season. My low end, I'm taking a lot of, and by that I mean a lot of something. That's so confusing for me. But Bowman Chrome Jackson Churio first prospect cards. They are going for around $8 to $10 right now at Chrome. I will buy 20 of these for a $200 investment. Send them all to SGC, just like what I talked about with the play for the Wembanyamas. That is $9 a grading card for a Bowman 22, Bowman 23 card right now. They have a special for $9 a card. So that gives me an all-in investment of $380 right here of a 20-card lot going to SGC for Jackson Churio first cards. That's a smash deal. He's going to be super popular. Everybody's going to want this. And, you know, if you have these buckled down to $19 a card, that PSA 10 is probably – or the SGC 10 is probably going to sell for $60. That's a great profit margin. And so I'll do that all day long. Give me $380 invested here.
Great low end pick.
Mid tier, similar feel. Bobby Witt Jr. 2020 Bowman Chrome Prospect First PSA 10. This card is currently selling at $49.89. Let me break this down for you. Today in 2021, so 4 months previous to opening day. It sold in 2021 out of the bubble and the spike of the card market. It sold for $106. At the season start, it sold for $339. So $233 push between now and the start of the season for Bobby Witt Jr. in 2021. 2022, if you bought it today, it was $197. So it came back down to $197 at the start of the season. $307. So a $104 margin between now and the start of the season. What am I getting at, Connor? You buy Bobby Witt Jr. in December and you sell him in April. I think I will do this for the rest of time until he is retired, because if I can get a double or a triple spike from just buying a Bobby Witt Chrome first card and then selling it in 4 months, I'll do that. So $49.89 today. If we get the same percentage growth, it only needs to sell at about $95. And the $95 valuation, I believe, is super, super, super floor level for where this card will sell it at an opening day, because they will hype Bobby Witt Jr. because he is an MVP caliber player. For you to get an MVP caliber player, PSA 10 Chrome first for $49, that's $50 invested. I expect this card to at least 2X in the next 4 months. Give me five of these, $250 invested. High end, Bowman Chrome Auto of O'Neill Cruz, raw. Still down 23% from this time last year. And we have been pushing the buy button on him since the $300 range. He's currently at a $450, $500 mark. There is still run to be had here. I think I can still see us getting in on him with his cards at $400 and $450 mark. Still buying Cruz. This is my least confident in the three buys that I have today, but I'm still buying O'Neill Cruz, because people have forgotten what O'Neill Cruz can do on the field. He is an animal. He is a beast. He will have top 10 plays all day long for this Pirates team, and I believe he will turn them into a contender for the wild card spot at some point in the next 2 to 3 years. People forget how awesome he is. He is back. He is healthy. Give me one Bowman Chrome Raw of O'Neill Cruz at $450, then I come in at $1,080 today.
Love it. Great picks, Lefty. We're actually going to split up our budget builder a little bit even more than I said. I'm going to read mine off after Lefty has to leave. We're going to hop right into some audience Q&A because you guys have some good questions in here. And I know Lefty wants to answer some of them and can give you guys some good feedback here. So let's hop straight into them. And then after that, after Lefty leaves, I will share my picks for the week as well as updates to where we're standing for this exercise all time. So Lefty, let's start things off real quick with... Brian Steeler 714, Lefty, need help. I'm looking at a Jackson Holiday 2023 Bowman Platinum on card auto at a 25 orange color match. I know we talked about the right cards being Bowman first, but it's a freaking Holiday. Thoughts here, Lefty?
Nope. Right player, wrong card, dude. Don't buy Bowman Platinum. I know it's an out of 25. I know it's Jackson Holiday. And yes, you will probably see a residual rise in this, but it's going to be a lot of your money tied into a card that is not a top shelf card. You have a Bowman Platinum that's probably, I imagine, I don't know what this card is worth, but I imagine you're going to pay a hefty dollar amount for this. So I would rather have this tied up in a different player. Go out and buy Wyatt Langford right now. I'll go and buy several of his Bowman Chrome autos. Go and buy the right card from a different player and don't pay the Jackson Holiday premium on a Bowman Platinum card.
Love it. Good answer there. Up next, Trevor Beagle, Lefty. I think the new selling point for top prospects would be the new prospect spring breakout on March 14th, 17th. We talked about this a little bit, I believe, during the last Monday episode. Yep. What do you think, Lefty? Yep. Do you agree?
A lot of my 7-day auctions are going to end during this March 14th to 17th window. This is the perfect opportunity for what I've been. I didn't know this was coming, but I was saying we're going to sell during spring training, and this is the perfect opportunity for us to have a selling marker. As I said on Monday, I'm not sure exactly how it rolls out. I don't know if every player that we want to sell is going to be playing in this weekend, but what I do know is that they are going to talk about top prospects. If Jackson Holiday doesn't play in this game, if Wyatt Langford doesn't play in this game, they will still talk about those dudes. I can promise you that. So we might see a residual rise on all of that. I think this is a great selling marker. I think it's great for the hobby. I think it's great for Fanatics. I think it's great for that overall market cap value going up. Give it to me. Great, awesome thing that MLB is doing.
Awesome. One more question for you, Lefty. Barry Siff has been waiting since Monday to get this answer, so we're going to give it to him real quick.
I know
Lefty,
what he's going to ask.
How about three sleepers to grade from the new Bowman Chrome first?
And three sleepers to grade. From the set? Let me preface this, Connor. Do not buy these cards if you have not pulled them. If you have not pulled Matt Shaw, if you have not pulled Tommy Troy, and if you have not pulled Emerson from the Seattle, don't don't go buy them right now. Matt Shaw, great ones. You know, if you have him, grade him. Tommy Troy, if you have him, grade him. Wyatt Langford, obviously, if you have him, grade him. And then Emerson. What's Emerson's first name? I'm totally blanking on it. I only wrote down Emerson, so I apologize. Emerson from Seattle. You also have him be a good sleeper. There are other guys in this set that I do think have good value in terms of name recognition, but I'm not exactly sure where they're at in terms of a absolute baseball player. Name recognition wise, is there's another guy that I like in terms of name recognition only. There's Trey Morgan out of LSU. He's a big first baseman outfielder. The reason why I want to hold on this price, you know, he's $45 right now, which isn't bad. But Trey Morgan coming in with a batting average of .389 and .417 in his first two appearances at the minor league level. But it's at low A and complex, and he was an advanced college hitter. Trey Morgan is interesting for me, but I need to see what he does in double A and triple A. But the Tampa Bay Rays did draft him. So I'm going to be watching Trey Morgan prices just because I think he has the opportunity to rise because he was on a very good LSU team with Dylan Cruz. So so Tommy Troy, I really like his makeup, but I'm just not willing to pay the prices yet. He will be a buy for me at some point, but not yet. Max Clark, not a buy at all because he's so expensive. Please sell him. And I think that's all I wanted to talk about.
Awesome. Fantastic. Lefty, I think that will be your cutoff.
And what a name, by the way, Homer Bush. I don't want to buy him at all. His prices are no way, but what a name. Homer Bush.
All-time name. Definitely.
We'll just leave that there.
Love
don't
it.
Go Fantastic. Don't go buy Homer Bush. Colt Emerson. Thank you.
That's right. Fantastic work today, Lefty. I don't want to hold you longer. I know you are rushing to a meeting, so we appreciate the time today. A lot of valuable stuff from Lefty in this episode from each segment. So great work, Lefty. Do you have any closing thoughts you want to give the audience before I keep rolling along with them?
I think I should get up and have a coffee like an hour and a half before every show because, dang, that Shohei stuff got me lit today. So I'm sorry I got to jump out, guys. I love these deep dives with you. Justin, Barry, Steeler, Shane, all those guys, we love you. Continue to send me questions I'll answer on the Overflow show. /ask, no offseason /ask. Connor, you're the freaking man. Thank you so much. Guys, can we get some dubs in the chat for Connor? Connor Barrett, everybody.
Barnett, Barrett, whatever works. I appreciate the W shout out.
Just dubs. Frick, L for Kindle. All right, I'm out on that. Goodbye.
Later, Lefty. Have a good one, brother.
Golly.
All right, friends. We're going to keep rolling. I'm going to answer a couple more of these questions. As many as I feel comfortable answering, really. However, if I don't get to your question or you feel like the answer is not sufficient, definitely head over to nooffseason.com/ask or nooffseason.com. You can get a 30-day free trial of the premium membership where you can get unlimited personalized sports card advice and get questions answered on the Overflow show. Very in-depth answers. Our premium members will tell you guys. We try to answer as many questions here on these live shows as possible, but the answers that they get on the Overflow show are very extensive, very well thought out, and a lot of good value there. So let's keep rolling with these questions real quick. Chad did mention we'll come back at 6:30 tonight with more questions. I don't have a cutoff for tonight. I don't know about Dr. Crack, but we'll be ready to answer a ton of questions. So if we don't get to those, definitely come check us out at 6:30 tonight for another deep dive. But let's keep rolling. Kana Nomo says, how about Spencer Strider, the next Cy Young? In terms of sports cards, absolute fade here. Kana Nomo, we typically don't invest in pitchers. They're just not going to have the market or the demand that you're looking for. The only pitcher that we really invest in is Shohei. We're not even looking to buy Paul Skeens right now. So definitely a fade on Spencer Strider. Up next, Derek Koonsman. Audience Q&A, Jaws return last night. Wow. Can we break that down and how it relates to what we are doing with his cards? Absolutely. You guys know I'm a basketball freak. Was pretty tuned in for that game. And it was an awesome return for Jaw. Real quick, thank you guys for all the love in the live chat. I appreciate it. And we're popping right now, so keep the comments coming. But yeah, Ja Morant, what a great debut back. 34 points in 35 minutes, 6 boards, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block. We know what Jaw can do. It's just a matter of how he is off the field. So Derek says, can we break that down, how it relates to what we are doing with this card? Spoiler alert for you guys that are listening. It's been a busy morning, so I haven't gotten to it quite yet, but there will be a sell alert coming out pretty quickly after the show. We try to get those to you guys as quick as possible. If you're not signed up for sell alerts, definitely text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. When these major events come out for guys that we pitch buying and we see the sell marker, we let you guys know quickly, typically between 12 and 24 hours, so that you guys can get these cards listed and sold for max profits. Yeah, we got a sell alert for Jaw with a little bit of a contingency. So there's a lot of his market that has gone up, but there, for example, like I pitched the Prism Silver a couple weeks ago. I haven't seen quite the growth that I'm looking for in PSA 10 Prism Silver for Jaw to sell it. So a large majority of his cards, absolutely, yes, we recommend selling, and I will be detailing which cards to sell in that sell alert. However, there are a couple that I think it might be advantageous to try to hold on to just for a couple more days to see if there's a little bit of residual rise from the hype of Jaw, who came back, had that great performance, hit that buzzer-beating game winner. Good question there, Derek. Rolling right along. Whew, I'm out of breath. Give me 1 second. Greeny Green, what's up, fellas? Am I the only one buying Juju Watkins? For those of you guys that do not know, Juju's a female basketball player, but I believe a guard for the USC Trojans. Greeny Green, in my opinion, the only female college basketball player you should probably be investing in right now is Caitlin Clark. I think that she's going to have just, when it comes to women's basketball, probably the most dominant, the most dominant demand share in the sports card world. So I think I'd fade Juju Watkins just because I don't know what kind of markers we'd be looking for to see her cards really rise. I honestly don't know even how many cards we have for her that are investable. So I'm going with Caitlin Clark. We've talked about some of the recent cards to buy from her. If you just head over to nooffseason.com, there's a search bar, search her name. You'll see some of the prints we recommend there. Guys, that's going to wrap it up for the Q&A for today. Again, if we didn't get to your questions, I do apologize. I just want to make sure that we don't give any, especially me, fairly new to the scene, I don't give any advice that strays away from technically our vision there. So let's go ahead and keep rolling, but definitely leave questions in the YouTube comments, or like I said, you can get that 30-day free trial at nooffseason.com for the premium membership and ask as many questions as you freaking want, and we'll get them answered every Friday on the Overflow show. Whew, let's hop back into the 1K budget builder. I'm going to give you guys my picks and then give you guys the update on where me and Lefty are at based on who we have sold. Ran an Excel sheet and looked at all of our profits and seeing where we're at. So my picks for the week, we're going to start off. Typically, I go low end, mid tier, high end. I'm actually going to start with my high end because I'm so excited about it. Dylan Cruz, 2023 Panini Stars and Stripes Kaboom, PSA 10. I'm picking the PSA 10. It's at $500. However, I'm going to discuss maybe another buying opportunity for the same card. It's been confirmed that Dylan Cruz won't have any Bowman cards. If it has been confirmed, I think there's a strong opportunity to buy this card right now. Last sales, PSA 9 auction, $256. PSA 10, buy it now, $500, and raw buy it now, $255. Why do I like this card so much? The Kabooms are licensed. These Kabooms are they have the U.S. national team logo on them, and he doesn't have any licensed college cards. He also won't have any licensed pro cards. Kaboom cards are great. They're a rare, super short print, known and desirable for both football and basketball. I think this could be a right card long term, and I think it's definitely the right card for the short term. So for those looking to flip Dylan Cruz upon the call-up, I think this is the card that you should be looking at, especially if you can get one raw under $300 or a PSA 10 for around $500. So my high-end card is going to be that Dylan Cruz 2023 Panini Stars and Stripes Kaboom in a PSA 10. Mid-tier, we got a GOAT. Steph Curry, 2009 Prestige Base, PSA 10. This card's down 40% the last 30 days. While the Warriors dynasty is certainly in question, obviously there's a lot going on in the news with Draymond Green and his future there. Steph's greatness absolutely is not. He's still having a fantastic year. But to me, that doesn't even matter because this is a scenario where all I'm trying to do is time the market here. Steph's going to do Steph things throughout the course of the year that will bring his market back up. If you look at historical data, this card ebbs and flows a little bit, but it's pretty much near an all-time low or 365-day low for this card. Last three sales are below $300, but this is typically a $400 or $450 card that spikes near $500. So this is just an example of where I'm trying to time the market. I don't even necessarily need a huge sell marker. I could even hold this until the next NBA hype cycle and probably make some decent profits here. My low end, I'm curious to see everyone's thoughts on the low end card this week, but it was just too affordable not to roll with it. Jordan Poole, 2019 Prism Silver PSA 10. Now hear me out. I know that Poole has quickly become a bit of a meme in the NBA. He definitely has not done what we expected him to do this season in terms of kind of growing into the shoes of the talent that he has. Washington is horrible. Him mixed with Kuzma is kind of just a whirlwind over there. However, I like this card a lot. Why? It's down 61% the last 30 days. Pop count 1,200, so it's pretty easily accessible in 12 trades the last 30 days. So for even for someone that right now isn't in favorable grace of the NBA eyes, it's still moving enough for me to feel like I can pick it up at a price I'm looking for and get it sold when a market presents itself. This card right now is selling for $46. A Prism Silver PSA 10. We're talking about an NBA championship guy that had a big time effect on one of the rings for the Warriors. He averaged over 20 points a game for them for a season. Obviously, he's not with them anymore, and we need him to grow and mature. But $46 for this card to me is a total steal. It traded for over $200 on October 28th, pretty recently. Half the price of Emmanuel Quickley, and a guy who we think is insanely undervalued as well. You know, Poole's got all the talent in the world. To me, it's just a matter of him being coached properly and maturing. He's only 24 years old. We got time here. So this is a play that I'm trying to make, probably sitting in that 6 to 12 month range. Hopefully we see him mature throughout the year. Also, I wouldn't be surprised if Washington tries to move this guy. So that could be a sell marker in itself there. I'm picking Jordan Poole as my low end pick there. With that being said, let's go ahead and hop into seeing how myself and Lefty have actually done with all the picks. This is our, I believe this is the seventh show that we've done. Good morning, Rusty McGart. Thanks for joining us. I believe this is the seventh show that we've done of our deep dives on Wednesday mornings. So we got six shows of data to review in terms of picking three cards a week, low end, mid tier, and high end, setting sell markers, paying attention to how they've done. And letting each other, me and Lefty, letting each other know when we're trying to sell them. So I'm going to kick things off with Lefty because he's done pretty well. On the 15th, Lefty had Shohei Day. He actually picked four cards this week. He had a low-end card, two mid-tier cards, and a high-end card. So his low-end card was the 2018 Bowman Base Raw, which was $17. He got 10 of these. His selling marker for these was Shohei signing that massive contract, and sure enough, we sent out a sell alert there. He did sign the contract, 10 years, $700 million, a preposterous number, with the Dodgers. His cards spiked, really, they hype spiked leading up to him actually signing it. If you look at the data, the last 14 days before the signing saw a bunch of growth. The signing hit, even more growth, and then the next couple days, it quickly dropped off. So Lefty sold the day of that signing. Like I said, he had 10 of them there. He sold them for $25 a piece, so $80 in profit. One thing I want to note as I roll through these for you guys, we're using market movers as obviously we're not actually buying and selling all of these in real life. So we're using market movers sales to what's the term I'm looking for here? Validate our sales data. So no one-off flukes or outliers. Need multiple sales. Need to see consistent trend lines. Also not including eBay transaction fees or shipping tax, things like that, if it calls for it. So there's going to be a little bit of inflated returns and something to keep in mind of there. So Lefty sold that card, $80 profit for those 10 cards, mid-tier card, 2018 Topps Chrome Update PSA 10. He got one of those for $115. It sold at $160 seven different times between the 11th and the 13th. So right after he signed. So he sold that card, made a $45 profit there. The third card he chose, which was the second mid-tier card, was a 2023 Topps Now World Baseball Classic PSA 10, $82. This card actually didn't see much growth, so Lefty decided to hang on to this print, but he did sell his high-end card, 2018 Bowman Chrome Base Hitting Edition PSA 10, bought it for $525. Was able to sell this thing for $720, so $195 profit for Lefty there. And then the only other card that Lefty has sold so far out of our picks has been his Joe Flacco call. An interesting flyer play that lefty pick. He did a lot of good research to find Joe Flacco, a guy that had been activated from the practice squad, and he thought would see some time for a Cleveland Browns team. Sure enough, he did. Lefty bought 5 of his $16 Topps Chrome PSA 10s, and those turned out to be $35 after Flacco had a strong week for the Browns. So made a $95 profit on those 5 cards. Good work there, Lefty. So Lefty has sold a total of 4 different prints, volume 17 total cards, and made $415. Again, that does not include transaction fees or any shipping costs that would be associated. Keep that in mind there. Pretty solid start for Lefty, not going to lie. Obviously, we still have a lot of cash flow in this simulation tied up, but a lot of the plays that we're making are 3 to 6 to 9 to 12 months out. We're doing our best to kind of let you guys know those sell markers when we pick these players. So good work for Lefty, $415 so far in profits off of selling 4 of his picks so far. Heading over to me, not quite as successful as Lefty, but we're doing decent. So one of the cards that I picked on the 15th as well was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander Prism Base PSA 10. I only got one of these, and I want to preface, this exercise is very exciting for me because I essentially can see how I would be doing without having to invest the capital. And I'm having to make some, with some of these, you know, we have to pick a high-end card. So I'm having to make some hypothetical big purchases and see how these turn out. So I'm definitely learning a lot of this as this lesson goes. And if you're someone that's fairly new to the hobby, I definitely recommend like playing this by yourself, like every week or whatnot, pick a few cards. If you don't have the cash flow, you don't want to invest in them, or you're worried about if you're making the right play or if your knowledge is in the right spot, pick a few cards and see how things would pan out. And then you're giving yourself an indicator of, would I actually be making money here? Factor in those eBay costs and transactions and things like that. And you'll have a good indicator of how you would be doing. Or you can just listen to us, listen to Paul, listen to Chad, Dr. Crack, and listen to Lefty's picks. And you're pretty much locked in for some dubs there. But just a thought, do the exercise yourself and see if you can make some cash. But picked up SGA's Prism Base PSA 10 rookie card, 1115. I bought it for $60. I sold it on the 7th for $100. It traded around $100 7 times between the 7th and the 10th. So I made $40 from that SGA Prism Base. We talk about Prism Silvers typically being the right card, but I felt like this was such a off valuation for this print that I was getting an absolute steal and was able to turn some decent profits on it. Another card I sold, we've already talked about Ja Morant. Here's why I mentioned earlier in the show, I want to try to stay consistent here. I apologize. Here's why I'm selling Morant. The Prism Silver PSA 10, I mentioned we might not be selling it in our sell article. I sold it because sold three times last night for $535. At the time that I purchased it, I got it for less than $450 hypothetically. So I was able to turn about a $90 profit on this card. I have my hands full against Lefty, who has far more investment experience than I have. So my goal is to not take any L's in this exercise, zero L's, or mitigate L's as much as I possibly can. So since this card gave me a $90 profit, I hopped out of it. And I think that if you're someone that's prioritizing cash flow and prioritizing the W's and trying to have as low risk in your portfolio as possible, this could potentially be a play for you as well. I'll outline it better within the sell alert that you guys will see within a couple of hours. So I went ahead and got out of the 2019 Prism Silver PSA 10. I believe it was up roughly 20% over the last 30 days. I expected a lot more. Last 7 days, it was only up 6% or so. But I'm going to take my W here and move along. Scotty Barnes, Prism Base PSA 10 was the other card that I sold. Picked it up for $17 on the 6th of December. 1217, I sold it for $35. So I made an $18 profit there. All in all, I've sold 3 of my picks so far and made $143. Again, not including eBay transaction costs or fees and things like that. You guys can't let me be on a show by myself because I talk way too fast and I'm getting worked up. Give me a second to catch my breath. So for me, there's a couple things to take away, I think, from this. So one thing is that me and Lefty have a lot of cash flow tied up. Obviously, we have kind of unlimited $1,000 budgets each week, but I only have 3 of my picks so far that I've sold, and 4 for Lefty got sold over a 6-week period. So I think the lesson here is you have to buy being comfortable to wait for the sell marker and execute. execute that sell marker. Do not try and get out necessarily early. Even with John Morant, I feel like I'm getting out a little bit early, but my sell marker was his return. I've told you guys I didn't want to wait to see if he would do anything dumb off the court. I just want him to return and play like John Morant, which he did, and then he had a buzzer beater. So really executed that well, I think, in my opinion. Executed that as well as I could have. And then on top of that, it's just having cash flow tied up for us and understanding that we're going to have to be patient for these markers to hit, especially for me learning my way around things. This is one of my favorite exercises, and I hope that you guys are getting some valuable knowledge from it as well. Guys, that's going to round off today's show. Again, if you had more questions, be sure to drop them in the YouTube comments or head over to nooffseason.com. Get your 30-day free trial of being a premium member. Get unlimited sports card advice from Paul, Chad, and Lefty. And we're going to help you guys make some money there. So definitely go check that out if you have not. I want to give one more reminder to you guys. Graybo's singles whatnot auction tonight. If you weren't here for the beginning of the show, Whatnot is taking over on, or excuse me, Graybo's is taking over on Whatnot tonight. They got a single auction at 7 p.m. The A-team will be hosting it. That is Graybo and Cole. Tons of singles, mostly basketball and football, but they will have some baseball prints as well. That's coming from a local sports agent's massive collection. They're going to do some fun and interesting giveaways. Again, that link is www.whatnot.com/user/Graybo's_cards. And I'm dropping that right now in the live chat once again. Also, Chad has mentioned this a couple times, guys. We got another deep dive. We're not done for the day. We got a deep dive at 6:30 p.m. Central time. That is myself and Dr. Crack getting together. I think we've got some exciting stuff lined up for you guys and a ton of information. I learned so much from Chad each week, so you guys should definitely hop in at 6:30 p.m. and check us out too. If you can keep two tabs open to be sure you're watching the deep dive and also keeping up with the stuff going on at Whatnot for Graybo's, that would be fantastic. Also want to say thank you guys for all the recent support. You guys have been fantastic. A lot of love, especially today in the live chat. A lot of listeners and watchers in the live chat. We appreciate you guys. Hope you all have a fantastic holiday. Again, we shared this on Monday, updated schedule with both Christmas and New Year's falling on Mondays. There will be no shows on the Mondays. So those shows will follow the following Wednesday. So it will be December 27th. And I apologize if I get this wrong. I don't have a calendar right in front of me, but I think January 4th. Let me make sure I'm correct before I tell you guys a random number. January 3rd. The 3rd and the 27th will be our next sports card strategy shows instead of airing on that Monday. So be sure to tune in for those there. Again, thank you guys for your fantastic support, all of the great questions. And we wish you all and your families a fantastic holiday. I hope everyone has a great day. With that, we will let the rock music slash Paul take things away. And then see you guys later with myself and Dr. Crack for another deep dive. Thanks, everyone.
Great job on today's show, Lefty and Connor. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. Don't forget to get your free 30-day trial today at nooffseason.com to help you build your sports card investment portfolio and take lessons at Sports Card School. Go to sportscardschool.com. Text Sports Cards to 1-833-992-5727 to get your buy alerts and your sell alerts. Text Sports Cards to 1-833-992-5727. That's 1-833-992-5727. Text Sports Cards there to get your buy alerts and sell alerts to crystallize your profits. We would love it if you give us a positive review on Apple or Spotify. Subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/Paul Hickey and connect with us on Instagram at Sports Card Strategy. Thanks for being part of the nooffseason.com family. Have a great day.